this line of fire shooting through the sky, and it was, I guess, a capture on somebody's phone, you know, someone's what do they call, ring or something. And it just, it sees this thing just dropping right out of the sky of this line of fire. And here was like a small meteor that went right through someone's house. So I was like, well, all right. So this morning, so Gil's going to give us his testimony. And I told him, Gil, let loose. You know, whatever the Lord's given you to speak about, then you speak on it. So do you need a mic? Can you hear Gil okay?
Okay.
You go ahead, Gil.
Well, first thing, I'm a child of the living God and an inheritor of the kingdom of God. That's what I really am. But y'all know me as what?
Gil.
Yeah. Full name, Gilbert Edwin Bielefeld. That's my full name. But you know me as Gil. That's good enough for me. Because I'm a simple person. I like life. And that's the way I was born into the family. I'm a trans. Don't hold it against me. I'm from Texas. So, anyway, I've been here in Pennsylvania since 1967. And I'm really an aeronautical engineer. I worked on all kinds of space programs for the government. I worked at General Electric Company. And we did a lot of work with the government in different programs. Some things I can never, ever, ever talk about. And I won't. Because I'm that kind of a person. I got all kinds of security clearances. And that's me. And I have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in everything I did. From all I had to trust in.
Then they can hear you.
Now can you hear me?
Some people can't hear you. Yeah, there you go. Now they can hear you. I should have had some space or rocket jokes. Because for Gil, but obviously I'm going to cut my message down so we're not killer over time. But thanks, Gil, for that. And we're going to continue moving forward in Acts. We've been in Acts. And as we talked about summertime and all the different things, vacation, jokes that revolved around summer and vacation. So why don't mummies go on vacation? They are afraid to unwind. So they stay home, right? Because if they did go on vacation, do you know where they would go to? They would go to the Dead Sea. Just that's where they would like to spend their time, right? And then what's a lifeguard's favorite workout? That's your favorite workout. It's pull-ups. They love doing pull-ups. If you're, you know, pull-ups, a lifeguard, pull-ups. Okay, Atlee, go back to mouth-to-mouth. So anyway, we're continuing in Acts, right? So we left in Acts where Saul and Barnabas were taking money back to Jerusalem, okay? And now we come back, and then we're going to start off in chapter 12. And chapter 12, we're hitting just a couple of, we're hitting five verses today. And starting in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. The message title is Another Apostle Down. You start to see the first apostle here who loses his life. Verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squadrons of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. Verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Yeah, I started to think about, well, we'll get into that, this whole thing with Peter and John, but I started to think about, because I've really been looking at the apostles the last couple years, you know, just really digging into who these guys were, as much as information as I can get on the apostles. Because once again, so we have John. We have John, James, and Peter were like the three main apostles that were really close to Jesus. And those three actually saw Jesus do more miracles than the other ones, because a lot of times Jesus would call them and say, hey, come with me. And they would travel with Jesus to certain areas, and they saw a lot more stuff going on, and miracle-wise, even with Jesus and most of the other disciples at the time. So when we look here now, that James, you think about, and I think about it, so James was taken. I'm just going to read that again. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. And what do we know of James and John? They were the what? They were the sons of thunder, right? And you think about the sons of thunder, and you go back to the disciples when Jesus gave them that title, and people speculate on why. Why were they named, and why did Jesus give them this nickname? I think it's kind of cool that Jesus gave people nicknames, right? He did a lot. I think that just goes to show you, like, the humanity of who Jesus was. You know, to give these guys nicknames, he's like, you know, say, what kind of people were they? So they think about the sons of thunder, and people question, like, okay, were they very passionate? Were they bold? Were they kind of like, and you can see from some of the stories of James and John why they got that, because they very passionate guys. I mean, even at the time of Christ at the Last Supper, where they said, can the brothers, right, they came to Jesus and said, can I be on your left and right? Like, can we sit next to you in your kingdom? I mean, that's pretty bold, right? Asking Jesus, like, when you go to your kingdom, can we have, like, the seats right next to you of this authority place? That's pretty bold. And then even when Jesus was going in, when they were going back to Jerusalem and they were going into Samaria, the Samaritans were like, no, you can't come through. You're not welcome here. And they pushed them to the side and wouldn't let them through. That's when James and John said to Jesus, should we bring fire down on these people? Right? And Jesus is like, no. So the sons of thunder, you think about their personality. And then you think about the personality here of, so now we're in early church. James, a disciple, a fisherman, a disciple who walked away just like all the other disciples and apostles who walked away from the Lord. I always try to go back to that because we put the apostles up on this pedestal, which, you know, they're great men of God, but they were so human too that they walked away from Christ during that they hid like out of public eye and just left Jesus all to himself. So they had flaws, right? So the apostles were these great men, but they had flaws. They were so human because they're just like us and had the downfalls and had the pitfalls and had problems. And so James now, which we all know, and Gil talked about being filled with the Spirit. So when we know the Holy Spirit was given, James was right there with all the other apostles, and the Spirit was given to him, and they went out. So now you have a son of thunder, and now he's empowered with the Holy Spirit. And what's the target here? And this is kind of where you look at it. This is where I looked at. Why did Herod go after James, right? Like, there was Peter, and he went after Peter second. But why did, like, the first time the Herod said, you know, we're going to round up these Christians. So the Christians here, think about this. Early church, this is probably about 10 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And this is a lot of assumptions, but I'm just assuming this. Why did Herod go after John? James. John was not with him at the time, but went after James. Why did he go after James? Why did he kill him? And this is a political figure, right? So Herod, a king, a political figure, all the other, like Stephen, the other martyr that we talked about, right? That was from the religious side. That was from religious groups, the Jewish religious group that murdered him. But now we're looking at a king, a political government, a figure of government that goes after a Christian man, one of the sons of thunder, James, and has him beheaded, killed. This is the first documented and maybe the only documented martyr of an apostle that we know. There's stories and there's other writings of the other apostles, but James is listed right here. Boom. And this apostle, James, was beheaded at the hand of a government official, a king. And then you get into, you talk about Peter. So right now we have Peter that's in prison, but you go back to James. I think, and there's not a whole lot out there of James, but he must have been, as a son of thunder, as a disciple who followed Christ, as a disciple who saw Christ do these great miracles, he saw Christ talk at the Transfiguration, where he saw Christ talking with Moses, right? And he saw these things taking place. And he was a guy who walked away from the Lord and then came back to the Lord and then was the Spirit. And yet here's a guy who didn't back down at his death. I don't know what Herod said to him. You need to talk to the crowd and say, this is all fake. Did Herod say that? I don't know. Did Herod say, hey, you need to renounce Jesus Christ, just like you did before when he was crucified, because the Christian community is causing too much stir in our government process, and it has to end. And what happened? No, James is killed. James is beheaded. And James, knowing who Jesus Christ was, knowing and seeing him after his death, after his resurrection, seeing him ascend into heaven, then for the next so many years out promoting and talking about who Jesus Christ really was as the Messiah. He caused some major problems in the early church in this time. And then when Herod killed him, Herod saw that, hey, this action, the Jews liked it. The Jews really liked it. So he started, it's like, okay, I'm going to start persecuting more of these Christians, because he saw that the Jews liked it. And then he went after Peter. But why did God allow it? Right? And I think about that when we get in, and we're not talking about the escape of Peter yet, but moving forward into next week, that Peter escapes, but James is murdered, beheaded, not his brother. Here's an apostle who was close to Jesus. So why would God allow one apostle to be beheaded at the hand of government, right? At at this persecution. And why would God allow another one escape death? Do you think that's a valid question, isn't it? I mean, don't we think, and I think, you're talking about the apostles. God looked at these guys and they were out working so hard for the Lord. They were out promoting for the Lord, telling people, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died for your sins. He was resurrected, and he's in heaven again for your sins. Come to Jesus, right? That's what the apostles were talking about. So now, when Herod takes him, why wouldn't God be like, just like he kind of does with Peter moving forward, why would he allow it to him to be beheaded? That was the question I had. Why would you allow this, Lord? And you think about that now. And if you look at 2 Timothy, we talk about our life. I'm going to read over 2 Timothy. You can jump there if you want. 2 Timothy 3, I'm just going to read it. Chapter 3, 20, or verse 12 through 16 says this. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. What? It doesn't say, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be famous and profitable and have every whims that they want. Does it say that? No. Does it say in here, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will have a perfect family, will have perfect health, does it say that? No. Does it say if you're an apostle and you want, going back, if you're one of my apostles, I'm going to just make sure you have a comfy life, right? It doesn't say that. Scripture doesn't say it. And what we know about the disciples and the apostles' life was what? It was a constant battle, a constant persecution state that they were constantly being persecuted. They were thrown into jail. They were murdered, beheaded. So another apostle, the first apostle that we see in Scripture killed. Boom. He's beheaded. He's persecuted. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's right. We know James. At this time, we know that he knew of the Scriptures, that he was brought up in the synagogues and understood the Torah and was looking for the Messiah. And when they found the Messiah, and he went after the Messiah, jumped off of that fishing boat, and he left his business with his family, and he was just sold out. This son of thunder with his brother John went to go follow Jesus, and they weren't looking at it as up until, right? They at first they were like, can we sit next to you because of their boldness? Can we sit next to you in your kingdom? But all of that set aside. All of that set aside. At this time in their world, the persecution was taking place. Persecution on believers. And James was pulled out of that and singled out in the early. Why? Because he was probably causing this government in our country and everything today. People say, you can't cause a stir. You have to be loving to everybody. You have to just be kind and play nicey-nice and speak the words that people want you to speak. Because, you know, if you offend this group of people, then you're not going to lead them to the Lord. I don't see James there doing that. You know, do you really think, in my opinion, do we really think if James was being nicey-nice and meeting all the checkboxes to satisfy every type of person, that he would have been beheaded? No. He was causing some problems. Why? Because he was confronting the spiritual darkness of the day of that you missed the Messiah, you crucified the Messiah. And he's pushing this into the Jews and saying, you guys need to go back to who Jesus was. This was the Messiah. And that offended the Jews. And then he was probably just like, you know, John the Baptist was telling, yeah, you guys, you can't live like this because this is sin. We're supposed to live like this as people. This is what Scripture tells us. And that offended people, right? James was taken, this apostle, and was murdered. The first murder of this apostle that we see. So where does that leave us? Are we all nicey-nice? I think, yeah, we need to be nicey-nice. We need to be tolerant. We need to love other people. We need to help other people. We need to, but we need to inform people, right, of what's at stake. We need to allow and let people know who Jesus Christ is, because like in our world today, and I was just reading about this. I was talking about a big mega church, right? I just was reading about this pastor who left a big mega church. And I don't have anything wrong with mega churches. And there's some really great phenomena. But there's a pastor that left a mega church and he's bashing the church and he's bashing the church community because how we look at people and sin You know, we should be looking at people and not at their sin, like we're good people. We're sinners, right? Is there anyone in here who's perfect? Roger, put your hand up. Is anyone here who's perfect? No, just kidding. No, we're not perfect. We're sinners. And we need Jesus Christ. And it's a very simple process, but that deception mode that comes in. And then we get scared as people. James, an apostle, a disciple, became apostle, filled with the Spirit, knowing who Jesus Christ was, came back to serve Jesus after he left him, to follow him to his death. Another pointing for all of us when we talk to people of why would James, why would any apostle who left Jesus come back to the point of death if Jesus really wasn't who he said he was, right? Why? That's the question, why? So as we take this and look at James, we know that as believers, I'm going to read this one last time. As believers, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. If we're not being persecuted in some way, are we living how we should be? That's a question. Are we maybe too scared to tell someone that, yeah, hey, I don't want them to not like me. For me, I like people to like me, right? I'm a people kind of pleaser, right? Sometimes I try to please people too much. Because I like people, it's a salesman in me, I guess, right? You want people to like you. So maybe I don't say things as much as I should. I know as I've gotten older, I say probably too much that really offend people, but I try not to. But I'm just trying to speak the truth. So as believers, if we want to follow and truly live a godly life, loving other people and trying to promote who Christ is to other people, we're going to be persecuted for that. And there's no way around it, right? There's no way around it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for the testimony of Gil. I thank you when he became a believer, and I thank you for filling him with the Spirit and his life, a dedicated life of knowing who you are and walking towards you, helping other people to know who you are and their salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the testimony, Lord. Lord, I think of James. Lord, I thank you for that, and especially as I look at the apostles' lives and how they lived and killed, and Lord, just how James never backed down, even when he was in jail, he was going to head it, he backed down, Lord. Help us to kind of remember in our life today that we know that if we want to follow you, there's going to be persecution, there's time of trial, and there's going to be hardships. Lord, help us all to continue to persevere. Help us walk in a way that's worthy to be called your children, Lord. Remember that in our daily life, when we're discouraged, when we question things, when we have problems, help us to keep you on our forefront of why we're living our life right now. To live for you, Lord. I know for me, help me to live for you daily. Help me to walk towards you daily, even when times get hard and stressful and we all struggle. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for everyone in here that this week and the next month that we will think of this and of James, that he didn't back down. But he walked forward in a way, in a manner that was worthy, Lord, for a godly life, Lord. Just help us to live godly lives. Help us to encourage each other, each to live godly lives. Help us to encourage each other to continue to walk towards a manner that's worthy of you. Help us to love one another. And we thank you for the time that we can be here together. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, they were after Paul, right? We know that they were after Paul, and then they escaped. So, yeah, you'd like to know why Herod went to James first, and then so as we get into that, you just kind of wonder why. Well, that's the end result, right? Like, we're in God's hand. It was his time. And for whatever reason, his time was now. Before Paul, before Peter, it was James' time. So. All right, there's coffee, donuts, cookies.